I'll just get the mantras on, and then we will invocation, then we'll start the invocation. Okay, this we'll be doing every week, so we'll be chanting the mantras together. Let me start recording all of you. I hope you can see it properly. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जय पताका स्वामी इति नामिने ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. There are few new devotees who have just joined for the first time. And we are in the second chapter. So I think it is important that they try to understand what we have done so far. You know, we have done the whole introduction. And then we have started with the chapter by chapter, and we finished the first chapter, and we finished two sections of the second chapter. So what I suggest is that, you know, they can write to me, those who want, and I can send them the recordings of the earlier classes. And they should, during the next 4 or 5 days, they should listen to that. That way they will be, you know, next time they will be on par. So still, I will quickly recap whatever we have done so far in a very small way, you know, in a short way rather, because I don't want to go into details of that, but just for our benefit, so that, you know, and for the others who have been regularly attending, it's like a revision. In the introduction, we discussed why Bhagavad Gita is the most important book, scripture, shastra, how it helps us lead a better life, how it is practical, what are the different ways of gaining knowledge, and among them, how the Shabda Pramana, the hearing from the authorities, is the most important and the best way of learning, especially when it comes to spiritual matter, spiritual subject matter. Then we try to understand why we require a guru, a spiritual master. What are the qualifications of a spiritual master? What are the qualifications of a disciple? Who is God? Why Krishna is so important for us? Because he is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And how he is addressed in Bhagavad Gita as Sri Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said. We discuss all that. We discuss the problems that we face in this material life, the defects that the human beings have. I mean, I'm just throwing some subject matter that we discuss. And then difference between animal and human being, that's how we started actually. And then we also understood what are the five main subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita consists of 700 shlokas, verses. And the subject matter is five. It discusses five, which encompasses everything. So what are the five? Ishvara, the supreme controller. Jiva, the living entity. Prakriti, the material nature. Kala, the eternal time. And karma, or activities. And then there are the relationship between the all of these. There is a relationship between Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva and Jada, that is material nature, Jada and Ishvara. And then Jiva and Jiva, Jiva and Prakriti, like that, five relationships. That's all discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is for everyone. It's not sectarian, Hindu, mythology thing. All that is not there. This is just plain instructions from the Supreme Lord Himself, how to lead a happy life. Not only this life, but life after life. How can we be happy? So that's the practical thing within. And as we go, we are going to discuss most of the time the practical aspect, how we can implement that in our own life. Then only it is worth studying Bhagavad Gita. And then quickly the recap of the first chapter. It all starts with the Kurukshetra, the Mahabharata war. This is the part of Bhagavad Gita, is a part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is considered as a fifth Veda, and Bhagavad Gita is considered as the Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. It is called as Gita Upanishad. Upanishad is a dialogue between disciple and guru. That's what happens here also. So these are the subject matters, and in the first chapter, the first half of the first chapter is descriptive about how the two armies are there. Sanjaya has been chosen to see the whole thing live and then tell to Dhritarashtra, the king, the blind king, how these two armies are there. And then Duryodhan is assessing his army, his strengths, his weaknesses. And then Arjuna asks Krishna to take the chariot between the two armies. And there he starts expressing his doubts. So that we discuss all the questions of Arjuna. Arjuna asks many, he gave some comments and then he asked questions. So we also discuss those, from where those questions came in Arjuna's mind. Arjuna is supposed to be a warrior, a prince, a highly educated, sophisticated person. then he has all these doubts. So Acharyas explain that all these doubts are our doubts. And Arjuna is like a medium, you know, like through him we get all our answers. It is said about Bhagavad Gita that it has all the answers. It is a clue to the answers. May not be in detail, but the clue is available. So, the main thing which I want to talk is that Arjuna comes from a position of despondency, you know, like he was really desperate, fearful, confused more than anything else, you know, unmotivated, dejected, disillusioned. All those symptoms are there in Arjuna. He doesn't know how to fight. And here is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. The Arjuna, when we ended in the first half of the first section of the second chapter, we saw that Arjuna ultimately accepts that he is confused. And then he tells Krishna, "Oh Krishna, I'm your disciple. You are my teacher, you are my spiritual master. Please remove all these doubts from my mind. Please help me." So the Acharyas say that Arjuna starts all his arguments, whatever he gave, why I should kill my own people, what will happen, how the family tradition will go, how will Inka sin, and so on, you know. Hands will be tainted with the blood of my relatives. Even if I win, what is the use? Since all my friends are gone, so how can I enjoy life even if I win? So all these very moral, logical looking answers and questions come from Arjuna. So this situation is considered as a all loss. You know, even if you win, you lose. You lose in the battle. That's what Arjuna presents. And Krishna, being the supreme intelligence, he turns things around totally for Arjuna. And he convinces Arjuna, and through Arjuna everybody else, that if you follow his instructions, that even if you win, you win, you lose, you win. So from a lose-lose proposition, it becomes win-win proposition. From despondency, Arjuna becomes highly motivated. You know, all his fears are gone at the end of discussing with Krishna, and he's ready to fight. He's ready to follow the instructions. He says, "No more questions, my dear Krishna. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Just guide me. I'm absolutely at your command." That is the situation. With that mood, when we go to the Guru, then we get the best knowledge, the knowledge that is required. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches us at every step, every single sentence, the verse, the shloka, the purport, the commentaries, all are our guidelines. And Bhagavad Gita is considered as a manual. You know, this human body, we got this human body, and Bhagavad Gita is our manual. Like we buy a machine and there is a manual for that, right? How to operate, what not to do, how safety, keep away from children. So same way, Bhagavad Gita is for us. So now, as I said, if I've gone too fast for you, please ask me. I will send you the previous classes. Listen to them as much as you can. And then, so that then by next week, you know, hopefully you will be on par, and then you will start enjoying more. So please bear with me. As I said, I cannot go into total details. This has been happening for past few months. So, but anyway, we are still in the beginning stage, you know. And let me tell you how this is going to happen now. now we are going, after the introduction, now we are going chapter by chapter. Okay? Once we complete the 18 chapters, then we are going to go into each verse, each shloka we are going to take and discuss. That's all up to you. You want to be part of that, you are most welcome. Like I started one batch about 4 years back, and that, you know, we went through the whole process, and now we are in the chapter 5, almost at the end of the 5th chapter after that much period. So you can imagine, I want to go slow, there is no hurry. We don't have to get any certificate or something that we completed Bhagavad Gita, because unless we apply in our life, there is no use of. I mean, even if we memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita, shlokas and all, but don't implement in our own life, then that's not so much fun. So coming to our second chapter, you know, we are on second chapter, as I said. We have this, the second chapter has been divided into 5 sections. So let me first explain you those 5 sections, and I mean, those who have been attending, they know. The first section was Sanshaya, doubt. Arjuna's doubts, because from the first chapter, the doubts overflow into second chapter. And Arjuna is still arguing. He says, I would rather go and do the begging rather than do all this. You know? And I gave you the other reasons he gave. And Krishna calls him important. He says, you are such a warrior, but you are talking like an important person. Shame on you. I mean, Krishna really chastises right in the beginning, you can imagine. He doesn't speak for a long time, Arjuna is speaking, and then Krishna chastises him and says, this is not right. This is how Krishna starts explaining. So the second section is the real essence of Bhagavad Gita. That is the science of soul. The science of soul, that was there in the second section. The third section is what we are going to discuss today. It's called Sakama Karma. Sakama, that means doing any activity with results in mind, with attachment to results. You know, like Sakama. Sakama, that means with desires. Oh, I want to do this so that I can get this. Or to get that, I do this. That's called Sakama Karma. Where we have all these do's and don'ts. You know, in the Vedic literature, there is a portion from the Atharva Veda that is called Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda. That means, that tells us the rights and wrongs of a material life. You know, how to lead a good material life. That means how to acquire punya and avoid papa. Punya is piety and papa is sins. So all this is called, comes under Karma Kanda, which is a very, very, people mostly follow the Karma Kanda portion. Those who are advanced, you know, most of the people don't do anything. But those who start now seeing good and bad, and they say Karma Kanda, they just follow that. So that is what the third section is. The fourth section is the opposite of that. Nishkama Karma. Nishkama. No desire of results. Without any attachment to results. We just do it as a duty. You know. That's the fourth section. It's also called Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga. That means you are applying your intelligence to achieve the yoga, to achieve the union with the cosmic supreme, as they call, some people call like that. But we know that yoga is to link with the Supreme Lord. So Buddhi Yoga, how to use your intelligence, that comes under the fourth section. And in the fifth section, Arjuna asks, what is Sthita Prajna? Sthita Prajna means a person with a very fixed consciousness, fixed spiritual consciousness. So Arjuna asks, who is this person? How he walks? How he talks? How he sits? And Krishna answers that, you know. Krishna gives him a big list of the things, the symptoms, lakshana of a sthita prajna, person in steady consciousness, steady consciousness. So that's the, and incidentally, this whole chapter, second chapter is called as Bhagavad Gita Summarize. It's like a trailer of the whole next 16 chapters. So in short, Krishna talks about everything and then he goes into details. Dhyana, jnana, buddhi, karma, bhakti, all that he goes. The three modes of material nature, etc., etc. So I hope now you got some idea about the second chapter. It is incidentally called Sankhya Yoga. Each chapter is called, some name is given by the acharyas. The first chapter is called Vishada Yoga. Vishada. Arjuna is desperate. That's why it is called Vishada Yoga. Now it is Sankhya Yoga. It's analytical study of the whole thing. Sankhya. You know, even the computer science starts with the binary. That's Sankhya, number. The same way, this whole Bhagavad Gita has been now, I mean the science of Bhagavad Gita, the science of soul, the science of our existence, everything is divided, broken into pieces, studied, analyzed, etc. So that is called Sankhya Yoga. So in the second section, Krishna talked about the jnana, the science of soul. What is soul? What is body? Qualities of soul? Qualities of body, all that we discussed last time. That is from the sloka number 11 to 30. 11 to 30. Okay. Today, as I said, we are going to go into third section, which is Sakama Karma. There are only 8 or 9 shlokas in this. So what we'll do is, we'll read those shlokas together, you know. All of you please join me and we'll read it together. I'm putting it on the screen so that all can read. And that way, okay. I'll have to play around a little. So please read with me. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. And so, there is no need for hesitation. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. O son of Kunti, okay. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attend the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up and fight with determination. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing, you shall never incur sin. Okay. So this is the third section, only about 8 shlokas. So we go back to the beginning of this. Okay. So see what Krishna is saying here. He is just telling Arjuna, he is reminding him of his birth as a Kshatriya. Not only birth, even his qualification by his activity. You know, this Varna Ashrama, that is the 4 Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaidya, Vaishya, they are as per the qualities. Krishna says, it will come in the Bhagavad Gita itself. He says, I have divided the society into 4 as per their activities and as per their quality, not by birth, not only by birth. So now, he is reminding him. Krishna is reminding him, and as I told you, this is a portion of the Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda portion, you are told about the piety and the sins. So he is just telling him about his duty as a Kshatriya. And he is telling that for a Kshatriya, the duty is to fight. Fight for what? Not fight just like that, you know. Fight for some cause. And here, the fighting is for what? This whole war is called as Dharma war, Dharma Yuddha. Fighting on religious principles. So he is saying, do not hesitate. Then, as I said, Arjuna was very desperate, despondent. So here Krishna is just cheering him up and he is saying, look at the Kshatriyas who fight. You know, this is a wonderful opportunity. Why? Because this is Swarga Dwaram will be open for you. If you fight this war, even if you die, you will go to Swarga. If you win, you win the kingdom. But if you do not do this, then there is a problem. If you do not do, what is the problem? Then you incur sin. So he is just talking of Punya and Papa, right? He says you will incur sin because you are running away from your duty. Okay. And then Krishna knows that that's not enough. So he is now adding something which will, you know, as I said, that hitting the nail on the head. And he is saying, your reputation as a fighter will be lost. And for a fighter, there is nothing more important than the reputation. For anybody, for example, you know, like for us also, many times we give lot of value to reputation. Right? We say that, oh, just for my reputation, just for, you know, for my name and fame. And then Krishna says that people will always speak of your infamy. See? And then he just touches and says, for a respectable person like you, dishonor is worse than death. You know, death you die one time. Disrespect you die every day because people will be looking at you with a disrespect. This is a coward. He ran away from the battlefield. So, this is how Krishna is working on him, you know. He starts working like that in the beginning. He just reminds him of his situation, of his duty, of his position. The same way for us also, many times we are in a dilemma. That is why Bhagavad Gita is more important to us, because we are in this dilemma every now and then. This whole life is considered as a battlefield, right? In the morning we get up and the battle starts. Go to work, go to college, study, work. Go to business, make money, and then you face problems after problems. So here, Krishna is just working on that. He's talking about his own friends and he's talking about his enemies also. Enemies will be using bad words about you. You know? Unkind words. Will it not be painful? Run away like this? You are proposing that you will become a beggar or something? Come on. Get off it. So this is how Krishna is working. Krishna is the highest intelligence, you know, you can think of. So he says, what will happen? Worse come worse, you will die. So you die, you will go to heavenly planets because you have fought for a cause. And then, if you win, then you enjoy the kingdom. Okay. And then he just gives him a little clue now about the Nishkama Karma. He's still not given thing, but he says just fight for the sake of fighting. You know, duty, like that. Go to the work for the sake of doing it. You know, most of us do that, right? Nobody goes to work because he loves the company or something like that. Some people love their work. But still, I'm talking on the behalf of most of the people. They have to go because they have to make money. Okay? Without considering happiness or distress, job satisfaction, no satisfaction. Loss or gain, of course, loss or gain, Krishna is adding now, no people will do work on that. Oh, I want to make gain only, why loss? Victory or defeat, nobody works for defeat. But here Krishna is, what he is saying? By doing so, you will never incur sin. So he is just taking that angle. Papa Punya. As I was telling in the beginning, totally based on karma kanda. Do the right thing, be honest, be truthful, do your duty, do not neglect, etc., etc. So this is how Krishna starts. This all comes under sakama karma. Okay? So I'd like to stop here. And then, if anybody has any question, doubt, we can take that up. And then from there, next week we'll go into the fourth section. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Things are slowing down a little here. Chat box. My computer has slowed down totally. Mataji, rukiye ek minute. Okay, now start the questions. Okay. The first question is from Dr. Sunil. What is the difference between bhakti and yoga? Yoga is to, as I explained, is to join with the Supreme, link. And bhakti is a process. Bhakti is one of the processes. Of course, it's the best process, but it's a process. Yeah. So that is the difference between bhakti and yoga. That's why it's a bhakti yoga. By doing devotional service, you achieve the yoga. Yeah. That's the meaning. Okay, anybody else has any question? Okay. Go ahead. If you have any question, please let me know. Yes, please.